1 Kings chapter 2. This is God's word. When the time drew near for David to die, he gave a charge to Solomon, his son. "I am about to go the way of all the earth," he said. "So be strong. Show yourself a man. And observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in His way and keep His decrees and commands, His laws and requirements as written in the law of Moses, so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep His promise to me, if your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel." Oh God, we live in a day in which we have been graced to live in an era of men like David, who were men who did great things. And yet, sadly, it seems that we are today people like Solomon, who have been given so much and have squandered it on so little. Oh God, may our hearts today be enlightened by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen. I want to talk today about a spiritual legacy. And we have before us, in the Word of God, a man who was very purposeful about trying to establish a spiritual legacy. I must admit that I am a child of my generation. I thank God so much that I was born when I was and not a year later. By God's grace, I am not a child of the 60s. And we are reliving those days again. David has come to the place where every one of us will come. There are the days of youth when we think that life will go on forever. And those of you who are near my age probably have the wisdom to look back now and see how quickly life has run by. They technically call what I am middle age, but I do not believe that at 108 I'll still be walking this earth in this body. My father's generation has been called the greatest American generation, and perhaps they were. They won World War II. They survived the Depression, and they went on to win the Cold War against Russian communism. But they failed utterly in one great regard, and that is they failed to pass on their greatness to the next generation. And in fact, my generation, baby boomers, and their successors have been the most spoiled and indulgent of all the generations in American history. We have taken the wealth of the most wealthy nation in the history of the world and squandered it to a point where we have dug a hole deeper than any people in the history of humanity has done so. And we have to show for that nothing but our pleasure. David comes to the end of his life and he tries to sit Solomon down and give him final advice. He tries to lay a spiritual legacy. And he gives Solomon three powerful points that he needs to consider. First of all, David begins in verse 2 by saying, "Be strong, be a man." My generation was raised by our fathers not to be strong and be a man, but instead to be a child and have fun. I can remember many times my father saying these words. He said, "When I grew up, we had nothing." And he didn't. His father was a sharecropper. He moved probably a dozen times during my father's childhood life. They never settled in a single place. Never owned that which was their own. They had so little food that both he and his twin brother had to leave the house before their 18th birthday and go out and get jobs because they simply couldn't feed the four children that they had. That made my father and those of his generation, that hardship made them men. I remember when my father was 68 or 70 and retired for the third time from a 60-hour-a-week job. David says, "Be a man." And we have indulged our children and we have told them, "Be children." I was at Keswick this week and I heard someone advising a young person, a teenager, "Stay a child. Don't grow up. Being an adult stinks. You have responsibility." David says exactly the opposite. He says, "Be a man. Grow up." God says to Joshua the same thing. In Joshua chapter 1, verses 6, 7, and 9. Joshua 1, 6, 7, and 9. Three times God says to Joshua, in the very first words he gives him, he says, "Be strong and courageous." Be strong and courageous. It doesn't take a lot of courage to play a video game, does it? The worst that can happen to you is you die on the screen. But hey, you get 6 lives. And if all else fails, you can just hit restart. What? This world is not a video game. You don't get 6 lives. You can't go back and restart. You have one trip through this life. And every day you waste is a day that's gone forever. We talk about saving time. How much time can you save? Remember the song, "If I Could Save Time in a Bottle"? every single one of us get exactly 24 hours in every day. There are 60 minutes in every hour. There are 60 seconds in every minute. No one gets 1 minute more. And no one gets 1 minute less. Someone said to me the other day, I said, you know, I'm ready to go. And they said, what, you're only 54? And I said, yeah, I've had 21 years more than Jesus did. David says, be a man. Stand up. And you know, we have not taught our children that principle. And maybe it was too late for David. We don't know what David taught Solomon. Did he dote on him? The child of his old age. We know his younger sons, as rebellious and wicked as they were, at least were men. We don't know that about Solomon. Did he dote on him when he was a child? Did he spare him from all the hardship? Was life in the palace too easy? Is life in our comfortable suburban homes too easy? You see, there are three mistakes that we've made. Number one, we've made it too easy for our children. They expect everything to be given. We have given them entertainment. And entertainment is a mind-numbing alternative to life. I was talking with my daughter just this morning, and she said, but Dad, you don't realize I don't even get 6 hours a day for myself to do whatever I want. If you claim to be a Christian, you don't deserve 6 hours a day to do whatever you want. What did Paul say? A slave of Jesus Christ. Do we see ourselves that way? Have we communicated to our children that life isn't about entertainment? Third of all, we don't expect them to sacrifice. We don't expect them to pay the price. I remember when I was a kid, if there was an altercation at school, whether I was guilty, innocent, or somewhere in between, my great fear was that the teacher would call my parents. Because guilty, innocent, or somewhere in between, God help me when I got home. Today, I know what it's like working in the school system. A child can be a monster and the parents banging down the door saying, what did you do to my child? It's not just my school. We don't expect our children to sacrifice, to give up. The price of how much you value Christ is what you are willing to give up for Him. Paul defended himself and his ministry. What did he say? I am a minister of Jesus Christ. I have started 5 dozen churches. No. I have proclaimed the gospel on two continents. Been shipwrecked. I've been hounded. This is the proof that I'm a Christian. David says, be strong. Be a man. Says it to Timothy this way, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Paul says to Timothy these words. And these are words that we need to grind in to our children and their children. 2 Timothy 2, 3. 2 Timothy 2, 3, endure hardship like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What advice to give to your son? Not, oh, I'm so sorry, Timothy, that these things are happening to you. Oh, it's so unfair how people are treating you. Oh, Timothy, they ought to be accepting. Why, they call themselves Christians. They should be loving you. Isn't it a shame how they are treating you? No. Paul says, Timothy, endure hardship. Stand up. Be a man. I can remember a number of years ago, we were on the beach, on the boardwalk. Took our young people down there handing out tracts and having them witness to people. And we came across someone from a large church in this community. And they asked what was going on when one of the kids tried to give them a tract and talk to them. And the kids started talking to them and they came over and talked to us as the leaders. And why would you do this with your kids? Do you have a youth group? Oh, we have a big youth group. What do you do with your youth group? Well, we have video games for them. Music nights with a band. I remember being at a big church in Philadelphia. I was there for a pastor's group, and because there were a bunch of things going on in this church, they had us down in the basement. And it was what served as the youth ministry room. And there was all this stuff up in the front, projectors, and you know, it looked like a Star Wars set. And one of the pastors was stupid enough to ask the question, what's all this stuff for? And the guy said, well, this is for our youth ministry. You couldn't expect to have a youth ministry without $30,000 or $40,000 worth of equipment to impress the kids. Yes. Endure hardship. Be a man. Number two, not only does David say, be a man, but second of all, he says, obey God. Look at what he says in verse 3. Be strong, show yourself a man, verse 3, and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in His way. Keep His decrees and commands, His laws and requirements. You know, Jonathan Edwards said, and this has impacted me in such a way that I hope it impacts you, because the day will come when every single human being will be impacted by this truth. Here's what he said. He said, the judgment of God is so just and so fair that every person in eternity, especially those who are lost, will wish that they had committed just one less sin. Sounds a lot like what Jesus said about that rich man in hell, doesn't it? Do you expect from yourself and from your child excellence? Well, we live in a day when a lot of children do not reach for that. Solomon didn't. Read Ecclesiastes. Solomon gave himself to everything that God said not to do. So much so that when he died, the kingdom was divided and destroyed. Remember being at Kingdom Bound. But Hershey was creation. I thought Kingdom Bound was down in Virginia. Something. And I can remember speaker after speaker getting up and giving these kids a smoke-in-your-nose pep talk that meant almost nothing, but boy, it was funny to listen to. I remember Mabel coming out of the showers one morning. She'd been in there. We were the only ones up that early, our group and one other group, and coming out talking to a lady that was there. And the lady said these words. She said, "Where is the speaker? All these kids to excellence." College used to be about learning. Now it's about partying. Oh, they've got to sow their wild oats. You know what the problem with sowing wild oats? I was up here yesterday picking the weeds out of the hillside and spraying and all that stuff. And I hadn't been able to do it because of the rain and all the weeds. Will cease if it comes within 5 foot. And it's blowing in my. They come back again and again and again and again and again and again. And we've said to kids, spend 4 years planting weeds into your life. Drinking, drugs, carousing, partying. Oh, they've got to have fun, they're kids. No! David says to Solomon, obey God. Solomon didn't, but you know what he says at the end of his life? Read Ecclesiastes 12:1. What's Ecclesiastes 12:1 say? Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. What's the next phrase? Anybody know? Ecclesiastes 12:1. Before the evil days come, when you shall say, I find no pleasure in them. If you give your life to sin, if you plant wickedness into your life, the day will surely come when you will say, I have no pleasure in it. We were just talking today about this tragic situation of a young mother taking her own life. What seeds were planted into her life? It's fine. It's okay. David says to Solomon about this first. He says, observe what your Lord requires. Look for yourself at the requirements of God. Don't take it for granted. I thank God that I was born again into a church where there were no one saved. That sounds goofier than all get out, but it's true. Because I had no bad example. I knew they were lost. I've said many, many times when I share my testimony, I didn't have the bad examples of Christians in the church. So I just, myself and the rest of us that got saved, just read the Bible and did what it said. How weird we were in the church even 35 years ago. Strange we were. Just do what God said. Said they went everywhere and preached the word, so we just went everywhere and preached the word. I was out the other day, and I was handing out tracts, and somebody said, well, you give out a lot of those things, don't you? Everywhere you go, you're just handing them out to people. My question in return is, why aren't you? And then he says, walk in his ways. Notice, he doesn't just say it one time. He just doesn't say, obey God. He says, observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in his ways, number two. Keep his decrees, number three. Number four, keep his commands. Number five, keep his laws. And number six, keep his requirements. Six different times he says it. Well, you know, I'm not any worse than anybody else. You know how many times... One of the great problems of young people today is they are chameleons. I was in school the other day, and there's this thing on YouTube. One of the few ways to get through with things that the kids that I work with remember. And we were doing a story about chameleons, so they looked up this video on YouTube, and it shows this guy with a chameleon, and he keeps putting different colored glasses. He has a glass with blue water and with green water and with all these different waters. He keeps putting that behind the chameleon, and the chameleon changes color to match the glass. I mean, all these weird colors. The chameleon's like, there he is. And then he puts down a whole bunch. And you've got this striped chameleon. This color, that color, this color, that color, this color. You know that that's the problem with kids today. Often we'll say, well, you know, oh, my child was talking about the Lord. My child was this. But what are they doing when they're not doing it? Notice what Paul says to the Philippians. Turn with me to the Philippians. Philippians, just real quickly. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2:12. Notice what Paul could say about the believers in Philippi. This isn't just written in some idle talk. These are real people who had real lives and under the power of the Holy Ghost, who knows you and I and them intimately. He's not fooled by the facades we wear. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul could say, Philippians 2:12, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. Paul says to Solomon, obey God. What does God want? It's not that difficult. It goes all the way back to the garden. What did God say? I've given you everything. It's all yours. Just one rule. Don't eat from that tree. It's that simple. Talked about Joshua three times, and just in the first chapter, and there's more as it goes forward, God said, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and very courageous. Three times, Joshua 1, 6, 7, and 9. Look what else God said to Joshua after Moses died. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. Right there in the middle of all those times, that God says to Joshua, be strong, be strong, be strong. Notice what he says. Now you would think that maybe if it was you or I, and we were instructing Joshua, we'd say, Joshua, be strong, you're going to have to face giants. Joshua, be strong, there's going to be great walled cities, and you're going to have to face them. Joshua, be strong, there's going to be some hard military campaigns, and the enemy is going to be out to get you. Be strong. That is not what God says. Look at Joshua 1, 7 and 8. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Turn. Verse 8, do not let this book of the law depart out of your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. What did Jesus say to do? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey. We live in a society that says obedience is obsolete. Spank your child and you may go to jail. Discipline your child and you may go to jail. Children aren't admonished to obey their parents, but they are given the numbers of DIFAS so that they can call if anything is done to them. I was talking to one of the young women at school. She has a 6-year-old daughter, and she was saying her daughter's become very, very rebellious. She was taking her, and she was going to go and spank her, and her daughter said, "I'm going to call DIFAS," and she said, "That's great," and started packing up a couple of pieces of clothing and handed it to her and said, "That's all you take when you leave the house, lots of luck. There's the door." I can remember when my own children were very, very rebellious, and my son almost killed himself. He jerked his hand out of mine when I was holding it as tight and ran right in front of a car. The car came that far from hitting me. And I was hauling him to the van to administer the board of justice to the seat of knowledge. And people started screaming, "What are you doing with that child?" And I can remember when I was a kid, if a kid mouthed off to their parent in public, the bystanders wouldn't be going, "What are you doing with that kid?" They'd be lining up. "Here, you're getting tired? Give me a shot at it." You know that's true, isn't it, Nick? We don't expect obedience, but let me assure you of one thing. God hasn't changed his standard. Obey. Number three. Number one, be strong, be a man. Number two, obey God. Number three, look at what is the third thing that David says to Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 2. Verse 4, 1 Kings 2, 4. "And that the Lord may keep his promise to me, if your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel." Let us be absolutely clear. There are many promises that are generational. One of the great lies that the church in America has believed that promises are about me. I hear that all the time with revival. Well, what if God doesn't do it for 20 years or 50 years or 100 years? Yeah, there's many promises that God doesn't fulfill in my generation. I heard once the story of a society that as they felt death approaching, in their old age, the grandparents, those who had lived to old age, the grandparents would take their grandchild, or perhaps if they had lived that long, their great-grandchildren out. And on the day that they thought they had reached the end, where they knew that they would not have any more strength, they would take the young child out 2-3 generations down the road, and they would take them out, and they would take an apple tree, and they would plant an apple tree with them. You know what that said? "I'll never eat of those apples. Not about me. I'm planting this for the next generation. These are the apples that you will eat of, that your children will eat of." benefits me in no way to plant this tree. But I'm doing it as an example to you. I can remember one of the things, and my own daughter is one of them, who is didn't even graduate from college but still has a huge load of college debt. I can remember sitting in youth group year after year talking with young people about you need to just seek God and exactly what He wants you to do and not care about what you want, and then you need to trust Him that if you'll obey Him, He will provide your needs. You should not be taking out a penny of debt to go to college. Oh, Dad. Oh, Pastor. Everybody has to have debt to go to college these days. I talk to young people. I was just talking to somebody today at this Thursday at Keswick. He was saying about how he thinks God's calling him to the ministry, and he wants to go for school, but so far he can't find a way to go to school without debt. And he said, and I loved it. Oh, it thrilled my heart. He said, but I know that God has a way. I'm not going to get a penny of debt. There's got to be a way, and I'm looking for God's way to go to school for free. Well, the government, no. Don't give me the government. Government God. No, it's not. Well, how else is there? I don't know, but I did it, and I went through 7 straight years. Well, it only took me 6, but same thing. And when I graduated college, I didn't have a penny left. I had scrimped and I had saved, and I didn't have a penny left from anything my parents had laid down for me. And I was facing 3 years of seminary, and I didn't have 2 dimes to rub together. And the day I walked out the door, I didn't owe a penny. You say, how's that happen? Well, I gave a scholarship, and then God hooked me up with somebody else that gave a scholarship. God opened the door for a 3rd scholarship. All of a sudden, I was out. Now, that didn't mean I had it easy. I didn't party hardy through college or seminary. I worked every single day I wasn't in school. And just because you're going to college doesn't mean you shouldn't have a job. Be a man. Work hard. God has given promise. You know what Hebrews says? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33. Hebrews chapter 11. Do you know how it describes those who lived lives of faith? Hebrews 11, 33. Do you know the description it gives of them? It says they received the promise. They received the promise. Are we raising young people who are going to be able to receive the promise? Or will they be lured away into stupidity and lose the promise? Solomon was. David said that the Lord may keep His promise to me if your descendants watch how they live. Did Solomon watch how he lived? And if they walk faithfully before me. Did Solomon walk faithfully before Him? With all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. Has there been years that there was not a man on the throne of Israel? Lost the promise. Oh, then what good are God's promises? God's promises are gold. You have to earn them. Not with money, but with a life of obedience. That's why Jesus says in Revelation 3, I counsel you to buy from me gold tested in the fire and white clothing. I talked to an awful lot of people that partied hardy in their early days. They yucked it up through high school and college. I don't find a single one of them that say, I am so glad I did that. I hear person after person saying, I wish I could go back, knowing what I know now, and do things differently. Oh man, I am so glad that I lived a life of immorality. Wow, it was... I don't hear that. Oh, I wish I'd have done more drugs and studied less. You know what a joy it is to be 50-some years old and say, be able to say with all honesty, I wouldn't go back and change my teen years, my college years for anything. I wouldn't change high school in the least. I live for Jesus Christ. The other day. She's almost still a teenager. Maybe she's 20, 21, I don't know, something like that. Just a kid. You know you're getting old when 20 years old. You know you're getting old when your doctor walks into the room and you look at him and go, she was talking about how tough her parents were on her and her brothers. Wasn't it hard? And I spoke to her and couldn't get anywhere. But I guarantee you the day's going to come that she'll look back. I still remember the article in Ann Landers that someone wrote in and said that they thanked God for the mean parents they had. Amen. Obey God. Receive the promise. And you know, it's never too late. It's hard. Herein I speak from experience. At the end of this week, we're going to be going down and seeing my son. It's hard to see somebody far away. It's hard to hear, well, I had to dig a hole 5 foot by 5 foot by 5 foot. I remember the phone call I got the first time. Oh, I'm going to learn. I'm never going to do that again. I remember the phone call I just got a few weeks ago that said, well, I'm on number 5. He said, you know, the first 4 were before I started getting a job, because he now has a good job. He's working for this company that does landscaping. He said, you know how hard it is to get up at 6 in the morning, go out in that hot South Carolina sun and work all day, and then come home and screw up, and go out at 10 o'clock at night and start digging a 5-foot hole and get up at 6 the next morning? Good. Hardship never killed anyone. Oh, but ease and comfort. Lord, our fathers were men. They survived hardship and didn't run and say, oh, government, give us money. Oh, government, give us welfare. Oh, government, take care of us. They were men. They stood up to the Nazis, and they didn't say to the Nazis, oh, we'll sue you in the international court in The Hague. They stood up and were men. They stood up to communism and didn't say, oh, we can't sacrifice, we can't give up. Just roll over and let them come. They were men. Lord, that doesn't even begin to account for the men in our heritage, the men who survived Valley Forge, the men who survived the Civil War and put an end to the abomination of slavery, which we have allowed to rear its ugly head again, the men that outlawed gambling, and now we have it within a couple hundred miles of any point in this nation. God, I pray that you would give us the courage not to pamper our children, but to give them a spiritual legacy. Lord, I pray you would do that in Jesus' name.